Hey guys, yep, just gather around. Just gather around here.
Okay.
Now, I know you're all really excited to watch the next film in Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Volume 5, The Future is Super Female.
Yeah, sure. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
But I actually have something even better planned for you guys today. In case you weren't aware, we're coming up on everyone's favorite time of the year, employee reviews.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
No. But more than that, today marks 6 years since we first started doing this show, Apocalypse Video.
Aww.
I know, right?
Wow.
It's insane. It's hard to believe it's already been 6 years since we started doing this whole crazy thing. And I figured, since we didn't really do anything last year to celebrate our 5th anniversary, why not combine the show's 6-year anniversary and employee reviews into one gigantic televised 6th anniversary Apocalypse Video Trivia Showdown!
Okay. Oh, it looks great. Why did you have time to put all this together, Dave?
How much did this cost?
Dave, what the hell? Has there always been a stage and studio audience behind the back wall?
No, not until recently. I dumped our entire budget into converting the back part of the store into a game show studio. Now, how's that for a 6-year anniversary celebration?
This is why I haven't gotten a raise in 6 years. Dave, you could have just done all of this in our holodeck.
Yeah, don't you remember the Hilton Star Trek simulator?
Oh, right. I guess I didn't have to blow the entirety of the store's budget, did I? Ah, hell, but who wants a fake AI-generated holographic bullshit ad anyway, am I right?
Yeah!
Anyway, Mike, Ryan, Jackie, if you three will please step over to the podiums, mark with your names, we'll get this show started!
In the not-too-distant future of the Neo post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, bring the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to
the 6th anniversary Apocalypse Video Trivia Showdown. I'm your host, Dave, and we're here in Sector 2 of the Wasteland celebrating 6 years of podcasting from the world's last surviving video store. That's right. We're going to bring you 3 rounds of trivia, selected by yours truly, spanning 6 years of Apocalypse Video movie reviews and all the crazy shenanigans that you've all come to love. Joining us today are 3 contestants chosen from the admittedly limited pool of employees at Apocalypse Video. First up, we have Ryan, an Arizona native and apparently a big fan of Blink-182. Ryan, do you think the band got better with the absence of Tom DeLonge, or did his 9th time returning to the band really make that group sing?
Well, Dave, that's a good question. It's a very complicated one, I would say. I would say a little bit of, in the long run, better. But maybe not the best.
That's great. How insightful. Moving on, let's meet our next contestant, Jackie. Jackie, I'm told that you didn't really want to be on the show today and that you're currently here under duress. Is that true? And if so, blink three times to signal yes.
Well, who knows how many times I'm blinking in this audio medium, but I think it's actually really fun that Dave is pointing a loaded gun at us with his three hands. So I'm having a great time.
We'll try to make this short and sweet. Unfortunately for us, we don't have any sponsors, but fortunately for you, that means no commercial breaks. All right, and finally, we have our third contestant, Michael. Now, Mike, can I call you Mike?
You can call me Mike.
Perfect. Now, I'm told that you, too, are a big fan of Blink-182 and even hosted a podcast about that band a few years back called Take Off Your Pants and Podcast. Now, from what I hear, you went to bat for the song Los Angeles from the band's album titled California, which apparently was a somewhat controversial opinion. Do you still feel strongly about your love for that particular Blink song?
That's a great question, Dave. You know, I can't say that I feel that passionately or that strongly about that song, but I do think it deserved defenders, just like the great city of Los Angeles deserves being defended these days in the wasteland, Dave. It's real hard out there.
All right.
Political. I know we can
political.
Get political, Dave. No one said we can get political here. You know?
I love it. I love that energy. You're going to need it for this game. Speaking of which, how about we get this show started, huh, folks?
Yeah.
All right. For anyone new to Apocalypse Video's 6th Anniversary Trivia Showdown, let me just give you a rundown of how we play. The game consists of three rounds. In round one, I will ask each contestant 10 questions about topics ranging from movie trivia to the many bizarre happenings that have occurred on this very podcast over the last 6 years. Contestants will not be penalized for incorrect responses. However, if someone does answer incorrectly, the other two players have a chance to steal. And they could do so by shouting out their first name to buzz in and steal that point. Next comes round two, where points are doubled and every contestant has a chance to answer the question at hand by buzzing in with their first name. We should note, however, unlike round one, incorrect responses will result in a loss of 2 points. I'm also told by my robotic producer, Chad, that I should probably mention why we don't have actual buzzers. Well, as stated backstage before the camera started rolling, we blew our budget on this oversized set, paying off the audience to be here and this suit I'm wearing right now. Unfortunately, there was no money left over for actual buzzers, hence the name shouting. We apologize, folks. Maybe next year there'll be more money in the budget for buzzers.
You could just give me a raise. You could give me a raise one of these years, Dave, instead of the buzzer.
Political, get out of here.
I should also point out that interrupting the host results in a loss of 1 point.
Yeah. We're already winning, Jackie.
But enough about money problems. Let's explain the third and final round. Each contestant will wager their points before the final question is asked. The one who has the most points at the end after the final question will be the winner. Sound like Final Jeopardy? Well, that's exactly what it is. Please don't sue. And now, do our contestants have any questions before we begin?
Just to clarify, we're shouting our own names to buzz.
Correct.
Okay.
You could shout my name if you want.
We'll all just shout Ryan.
That's okay. An interesting strategy, but we will not allow that on the show.
Yeah, nice try.
All right, then. Let's get started with Apocalypse Video's 6th Anniversary Trivia Showdown. Round one. Ryan, we begin with you. In Wolf Cop, what was on top of the dashboard of our titular hero's cop car?
Holy shit. Was it a lady with the bikini? Like a little bobblehead, but with like a bikini lady?
That was a very long trailed on answer, but yes, it was a jiggling luau girl figurine.
Oh my god!
That is 1 point for Ryan.
Oh pretty sexy.
Oh my god!
Wolf Cop was one of Ryan's favorite movies early on doing the show, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I loved it. I loved that bikini or the luau woman, you know? Hookalakaliki, you don't want to lay me. Hookachaka, hookachaka, hookachaka.
that kind of wit is why Ryan gets paid the big bucks on this show, folks. All right, next up, Jackie.
Okay.
How does Ryan get killed at the end of the first Friday the 13th episode?
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, does, is Jason's mom come and drown him or something? I don't know. I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall. I'm going to say he gets stuffed full of arrows.
Incorrect. Mike, Ryan, you have a chance to steal.
Mike, does he get his head chopped off by...
Correct!
Should have guessed a head thing.
...by a crazed fan. Mike, that gives you 1 point.
I feel like I remember doing some dark ceremony where we put his head back on. That's why I
should have known.
All right. Michael, in Dark Angel, a.k.a. I Come in Peace, the villainous alien shoots a projectile out of his arm weapon accessory. What object does the projectile resemble?
Dave, if I remember correctly from the film Dark Angel, he shot a compact disc out of his
That
wrist.
Is correct!
I come in peace.
What a film, and what a one-liner. I should have put that on a t-shirt. They probably would have made a lot more money that way.
Get him.
Get him.
All right, Ryan.
Okay.
In Beastmaster, our hero Dar has 2 thieving ferret friends. What are their names?
No. Is it like Snap and Crackle or something?
Jackie, is it Riff and Raff?
Michael, you have a chance to steal.
Mike, Tar Dar.
A great guess, but wrong. It was Kodo and Podo.
Oh.
Those are really good names.
That's a good trivia, though, question, but I have no idea.
I have no clue.
Admittedly, it was a few years ago on this podcast, so it's been a while.
But we're not name people. You got to have the Cody on.
If Cody were here, he probably would have gotten that question.
Well, it's
for
half
sure.
of his name, so.
In fact, I think he actually does have 2 ferret friends named Kodo and Podo.
Yeah.
Coincidentally. Jackie. Yes. Yes.
What is the name of the club / bar that Jennifer Beals dances at in Flashdance?
Oh, God. Was it Bobby's?
It was Bobby's Bar. That is correct.
Wow.
Oh, and just a word to the audience. The after party tonight will be held in Bartertown in the Bobby's Bar pop-up. Caution, you will get wet. All right, next up, Michael.
Gross.
Michael, what was the name of the villain that Richard Dawson played in 1987's The Running Man?
Oh, this is a great question, Dave. And of course, we all know the villain that Richard Dawson plays in 1987's The Running Man is... Lester Holt.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Ryan, Jackie, you have a chance to steal?
Jackie, man runner.
It's Richard Dick for short.
Dick runner.
That was a comical guess, but no, it was Killian.
Oh.
Killian, okay.
Killian. I'll be back. Only in a rerun. Go!
Hey, folks, I may be an annoying game show host, but at least I don't sexually harass the contestants like Richard Dawson, am I right?
Ho, ho, ho.
That's awesome.
You know, Dave, I wouldn't mind a little bit of that.
I'll see you in the pop-up bar after the show, right? And Ryan, the next question is for you.
Okay.
What does Joe Don Baker use to destroy the office he is in after he hears of the failure of the mission in the beginning of Congo?
He used to destroy his office? God. can I repeat the question, please?
What does Joe Don Baker use to destroy the office he is in after he hears of the failure of the mission in the beginning of Congo?
Does he, like, shoot up the place?
Mike, Jackie, you have a chance to steal.
I'm going to guess, does he use the monkey, the ape?
Does Jackie, he use a rocket launcher, or does he turn into Joe Dante? Because that's how I kept on thinking you were going to say, and he uses a gremlin.
That is incorrect. If you recall, moments before going into the office, he is coming from a golf course, which means he uses a golf club to destroy the office.
No gremlin?
I don't remember that.
It's okay.
If Jana were here, she probably would have gotten that.
She's
one.
She's screaming at us several rooms over.
Jackie, in the film Ghost, Patrick Swayze and his friend Carl are joking around and ribbing each other in the elevator on their way to the office. The scene culminates with Swayze saying his friend has a rash. Where did Swayze say the rash was located?
Oh, it was either ass or balls, right? I'm saying ass. Fuck!
Ryan, Mike, you have a chance to steal.
His rash. On his neck?
Are you ringing in?
Oh, Ryan. His neck?
Michael, it's up to you.
I'm going to have to go crotch?
Ding, ding, ding. Mm. It was his friend's genitals.
Damn it.
The rash. Mm-hmm. The rash is also incredibly contagious. He said it has been spreading.
No. On your genitals again?
Yeah. Yeah, right on the genitals. Basically everywhere.
You were almost there, Jackie.
You were so close, Jackie. You went with the wrong one.
I was too tame.
That's Swayze, man. What a scamp.
What a scamp.
All right, Michael. In the climax of The Lawnmower Man, what does Job conjure in order to get past the guards at the shop facility?
Oh, is it like a... like a weird, like, tiger thing? Like a CG robot virtual tiger thing? Something like that? Okay.
Incorrect. Ryan, Jackie, you have a chance to steal.
I know. It's weird. Jackie, and I know I'm thinking of a different movie. What is it? Is it a dolphin? No.
Ryan?
I never saw Lawnmower Man, but I'm going to guess it's a big... digital piece of grass that you need to mow with the lawn.
Wait, can I chime in again? Mike, is it bees? Is it a bunch of bees?
If you had said that, you would have gotten a point, yeah! Michael. It was bees.
Obviously.
And a quick word for the audience here. Everyone attending the show tonight will be getting a free copy of the Lawnmower Man board game. How about that, folks?
I thought you were going to say they're all getting some bees. Just the most bees.
Only if people get rowdy. All right, Ryan.
Yes, Dave.
In Weird Science, what does Robert Downey Jr. and his friend drop on the film's protagonists in the mall, which causes everyone in the area to point and laugh?
You know, Gear?
Hmm.
For the first time in my life, I don't feel like a total dick.
Yeah, me either.
What does he drop on them in the mall?
I'm ready to beep in, Ryan. You better hurry up.
Oh,
that's a threat.
Michael's jumping at the bit here.
Is it like Orange Julius, Dave? Damn it.
Mike.
Does anyone want to ring in?
Mike. Is it a strawberry milkshake?
I'm sorry. Jackie, it's up to you.
Is it a bottle of piss?
Wrong. I thought for sure you'd get this, Mike. It was an icy.
Oh.
The Orange Julius doesn't count for that.
That's not an icy.
Totally different brand.
Oh, my God.
Not the same thing at all.
You guys have a chance for a bonus point here.
Fuck.
Be sure to ring in. Get your hands on your buzzers. What was the color of the icy?
Mike. Ryan. Oh.
You can't. You said
bear. You buzzed in first.
I didn't say your name.
Say your name.
Mike.
I'm sorry. What'd you say, Mike?
Red.
Red was correct.
Well, I thought strawberry milkshake.
Son of a bitch.
That's why I'm like, oh, you were so close, Mike. You were in the ballpark there. You had the color.
It was a red iced bev.
What if you had said that? A red iced beverage.
I mean, it's not incorrect.
It's like, well, I guess that's correct.
Is it slushy or icy?
We'll give it to him.
Jackie, in our episode on Big, we noted that there was a striking similarity between Big and this Italian film, which was released in the same year.
Oh, what was it? It's like La Grande or someone would say La Grande.
Judges? We're going to give it to you. It was Da Grande.
Da Grande. No, and I remember
but
in the
But we're
going to
give you that one because we're fair here.
Thank you.
Da Grande.
Thank you, Dave. You're very tough but fair. Da Grande.
I'd like to point out that as of this taping, Da Grande is still not readily available to watch
off
on
the
streaming.
Earth, you know?
Cody is, I think he's looking for it out there along with Avatar 3.
One day he'll find it. However, I do recommend checking out this film's trailer on YouTube. It is something to see.
Looks good.
Really something.
All right, Michael. We have a mega question. Oh, my God. Michael, we have a mega question.
I thought you were having a stroke.
Oh, no.
You're really scared. The mega question came to the room.
Oh, my God.
This mega question is worth a
total.
This mega question is worth a total of 5 points.
Oh,
1 point for each correct response.
I only have a total. I don't know, Dave, if this is a good time for a points breakdown of everyone, but I only have a total of 4 points right now, if my math checks out.
You have a total of 3 points, Michael.
Yeah, don't get ahead of yourself.
Remember, you get -1 in the beginning of the game.
All right, Michael. Are you ready for your mega question?
Hit me.
Don't choke.
All right. As I stated before, this is worth a total of 5 points, 1 point for each correct response. In Johnny Mnemonic, Keanu Reeves has an epic rant on a pile of garbage in Newark, in which he expresses his desire for specific comforts that he has become used to living in the upper class. What 5 things does Keanu Reeves want in his epic rant?
Okay, so he definitely wants room service.
Yes.
That's like, I want room service. That's the big one. I think he wants, like, I'm gonna... what does he want besides room service?
Are we all out to buzz in yet, or...?
Mike is still on the ropes. At 1 point, Michael.
Working this out. I think he says, like, a prostitute, and I'm going to say hotel.
Can you be more specific, Michael?
Like, expensive prostitute, like a, does he say, like, $1,000 a night or something, maybe?
All right, we'll give you that. It was a $10,000 a night hooker.
Okay.
You have 2 of the 5.
Does he say... Okay. I think he says hotel, like a nice hotel.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
It's implied with the room service.
Does he say he wants a cheeseburger? All right, I think I might.
Jackie!
All right, Jackie, you have a chance to get the remaining 3.
I probably only remember 2. He wants dry cleaning and a cold beer.
Ding, ding!
And I don't remember the last one.
Maybe can I guess, Ryan?
One
you have a chance
remaining
for the last point, Ryan.
Oh, I said room service. I was going to say like a steak. I'm mixing Matrix in there. Like a robe? A bathrobe?
All right. Shall we cut to the clip?
I want room service! I want the club sandwich. I want the cold Mexican beer. I want a $10,000 a night hooker.
I want my shirts laundered like they do at the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo.
That's pretty cool.
That sounds good, yeah.
Nice little spread on that, Mike, Jackie.
Teamwork.
All right, Ryan.
Yes.
In Be Kind Rewind, A representative on behalf of a movie studio orders the film's heroes to destroy the homemade movies that they have been making. Who played the movie studio rep sent by the studio to destroy the, quote, sweeted films?
If I'm remembering correctly, it's definitely a third act, swinger. This is Sigourney Weaver, Dave?
Correct! Mm. Ryan, you have a chance for a bonus point here. What sweeted movie did Sigourney Weaver appear in real life?
Ghostbusters.
Correct! Yeah.
I knew of that movie.
I know about Ghostbusters.
All right, Jackie.
Yes.
In Dr. No, James Bond romances a young secretary, Miss Darrow, who we later find out is part of the villain's evil organization. After an evening of lovemaking, the two are shown debating on what they should do for dinner. Miss Darrow says they should stay in and offers to cook, an idea James Bond rejects. Because he doesn't want this to happen.
Dishpan hands.
Correct!
I'm hungry. Let's go out and eat.
I'll make your Chinese dinner here.
No. I'm feeling Italian and musical. Let's go to the Blue Mountain Grill.
I'd rather stay here. It's more fun. Alone?
Yes, but I don't want you getting dishpan hands.
Oh, sexism in the 60s.
Classic.
Women belong in the kitchen, but don't get gross hands. God.
All right, Michael. In the Aliens episode, an explosion occurs in Apocalypse Video, which destroys a popular section of the store. What section was destroyed?
Oh, boy. Well, who could forget when we lost the...
We walk past the ruins of this part of the store every day.
The Danny Boyle, the beach section.
Incorrect.
Ryan. I believe it was the foreign film section.
No? Jackie, it's up to you.
The 18 plus porno section with a beaded curtain?
Correct! Oh, it was the adult video section!
Damn it.
That was a guess.
I didn't even know we had one.
No wonder I can't get anything good.
A long time ago. That's our sixth episode out of 250 some odd episodes.
Damn.
Oh, and just another side note, folks. It's been 6 years, and while we may not have rebuilt our adult video section in that time, we do have access to a large library of R-rated films with scintillating nudity and adult situations. So come on by to Apocalypse Video. We're open till 10.
I thought you were going to say that we do have that all digital now or something.
There's no beaded curtain, but we'll get you the good stuff.
I suppose one could go to the internet cafe in Bartertown and just go on to Pornhub or something like that.
It's not the
where's
same.
Where's the fun in that?
It's not the
Nah. They want the classics. They need a story.
All right, Ryan.
Yes.
In Pumping Iron, lovable underdog Don Katz has an item stolen from him by his douchey rival, Ken Waller. What did Ken Waller steal from Don Katz?
I don't think I even saw this one. I might not have been on this episode. Let's see. I'm going to take a guess. Stole his jockstrap, Dave.
Incorrect. Mike, Jackie, you have a chance to steal.
Jackie, his ukulele.
Wrong. Mike, it's up to you.
I got nothing for this.
It was his shirt.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
His lucky shirt.
Asked and answered.
From the United States of America, Ken Waller.
Kenny won. Great. Terrific. How about that? Boy, that's fantastic. Fantastic. Can imagine how we must feel? Incredible. It's probably like I did when I was 16 and won my first trophy. In its own way, it's probably just as satisfying. I gotta go shake his hand. That's fantastic.
Great.
and get my t-shirt.
All right, Jackie. In the film Convoy, what was Kris Kristofferson's CB handle?
Oh, fuck.
It is said many times in both the movie and the song.
I bet it is. It's an big boy.
Incorrect.
Ryan. Is it rubber ducky?
We're going to give it to you. Correct. That's a 10-4, good buddy. It was rubber duck.
Okay, rubber duck.
We're going to give it to you.
Yeah, okay.
Breaker one, man.
I'd also like to point out that Convoy is one of our most popular and listened to episodes for some reason. I don't know why.
Because there's a great song, yeah. Beautiful song. Yeah.
People love a good Convoy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think after this show, Dave, I'm going to hop onto a Convoy myself.
All right, Michael. In The Good Son, what is the name of the stuffed man that Macaulay Culkin and Elijah Wood throw over the bridge, which causes a massive traffic accident?
Oh, God, is it like Flat Stanley or something?
Incorrect.
Ryan. Mike,
or Jackie, Ryan.
Isn't it just a mannequin of a guy?
We're looking for the name of the mannequin.
Oh. Sorry.
Jackie, Kieran, as a nod to Macaulay Culkin's little brother.
Whatever his dad's that name been, was.
Yeah.
That would have been better as hell, but I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Ryan, you have one last chance here.
No, I don't know.
It was Mr. Highway.
Mr. Highway.
That's a good name.
Right. That's fucking dark.
Hey, Mark. Don't fuck with me.
Hey, kids, am I right? I'm glad I never had any. All right.
Glad I never was one.
Glad I never was one. All right, Ryan.
Oh, wow, okay.
In the segment of Creepshow titled Something to Tide You Over, what are Leslie Nielsen's final spoken lines?
I think I didn't see this one either. Let's see.
That's why it pays to listen to the show you're on.
Good night and good luck.
Sorry, that is wrong.
You gotta see Creepshow, Ryan.
I gotta see that.
All right, Mike, Jackie, you have a chance to ring in and steal.
Jackie, does he say like, no, you're supposed to be dead?
I'm sorry, that's wrong. Okay, Mike, so, can you pull it out?
Yeah, so in this Creepshow segment, Leslie Nielsen has buried a guy. Oh, he's buried a couple people, but he's buried a guy up to his head in sand, and the tide is coming in. Leslie Nielsen is, like, watching maniacally.
Real freak stuff.
And he says...
Remember the
Does he say... I know he says this. I'm not sure if it's the last line, but he says... He does say, like, maybe if you hold your breath, you can survive long enough to dig yourself out or something.
We appreciate the context, but if only you had skipped ahead maybe 15 minutes in the movie, you would find that Leslie Nielsen is the one underwater buried in the sand as he says,
I can hold my breath for a long time.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Scary one.
That last one.
All right, Jackie.
Yes.
Oh, we have another James Bond related question. What James Bond actor appeared in Looney Tunes Back in Action playing a spoof version of James Bond?
Is it? is it Sean Connery?
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, Ryan?
Ryan. Was it Timothy Dalton?
Correct! Oh, wow. It looks like we have some Dalton fans here tonight. That's great.
Dalton heads.
Get out of here.
That guy deserved a third movie, am I right? All right. Michael. In Kindergarten Cop, what does Richard Kimball refer to himself as when he busts into a gathering that is being attended by his star witness, Cindy?
Ooh, well, Kindergarten Cop, as we all know, was the school in Kindergarten Cop.
Is there
Cop
a time
was,
limit?
Was used as the model for the video game Silent Hill. That is what they based the school off of. So I'm going to go with... a cop?
He yells, a cop?
Can I get a repeat of the question?
In Kindergarten Cop, what does Richard Kimball refer to himself as when he busts into a gathering that is being attended by his star witness, Cindy?
Ryan? Does he not say, I'm a cop, you idiot?
I would like to point out that this has been labeled a softball question by our producers, and we are shocked that you are not getting this.
Does it go,
Jackie, you have one last chance.
He says, oh, that's just my pet ferret.
Oh, my God. All three of you are incorrect on what is perhaps one of the easiest questions of the night.
I'm a teacher.
Richard Kimball says,
I'm the party pooper.
Jenna, somewhere in the wasteland, screaming in anger.
I reject this being a softball question.
Because it's not a tumor.
It's like the slides of that movie.
I don't remember that being on the Arnold soundboard. You know, that one.
I'm a party pooper.
I'm the party pooper.
All right, Ryan. This is going to be one of the more difficult questions. Mm. In Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday... explain the secret of the 2-for-1 Jason special at the diner run by the John Waters-esque woman and her husband, boyfriend, I don't know.
Oh, my God. It's a two...
Again, the question is, explain the secret of the 2-for-1 Jason special at the diner seen in the film.
Explain the secret.
Explain it, Ryan.
This one's a riddle, not a question.
The secret.
Well, first off, what do you think the 2-for-1 Jason special is? And then what is the secret?
You need to know that in order to get the question.
You have
That's
to
right.
order it animal style.
The 2-for-1 Jason special.
The secret behind the 2-for-1 Jason special.
Is that it's the... That it's a secret? I'm trying to think of like the question is that's asked in the movie. Like what's the secret? Is it like I don't know that it's full of like the snake worms and stuff and that Jason's made out of?
That would have been a delightful burger, but no, I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, Jackie, you have a chance to steal.
Jackie, it's made of real Jasons.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Mike, it's up to you.
I'm going to say the secret is it's the same thing or something. Like the secret is it's actually just one thing that
it's
we're
the
just
warmed
calling
over.
2-for-1.
It's not, incorrect.
Not actually a special.
The secret behind the 2-for-1 Jason special, the diner.
No way.
They cut out the eyes of the burger patty to make a hockey mask.
This makes a whole new patty, hence the 2-for-1 burger sale.
God, I love this woman.
Hold me back.
That's not... They say this in the movie?
It is shown in the movie. This is a scene that occurs in the movie.
Well, everyone loves a burger with big old holes cut out of it, so...
And everyone loves to see business owners getting one over on their customers.
So
right?
true.
Right?
So
I love,
true.
I love 2-for-1 specials named after local serial killers.
That's crazy.
We all do.
Admittedly, that was a pretty big shift from easy to hard. But then you guys didn't get the easy question either,
so
I don't know what to
who knows?
I like that. Like, it was a good question.
Jackie.
Yes.
In Die Hard with a Vengeance, Simon Gruber leads the police on a wild goose chase by saying that he has planted a bomb in one of the schools in New York City. A school named after the 19th president of the United States. What was the name of the school?
Was it Garfield?
Incorrect.
Fuck.
Ryan, oh, Mike?
Oh, the president's.
19th president.
I was hoping it would be Garfield.
What?
Michael. McKinley.
Wrong. Ryan, it's up to you.
19th president.
That feels right. That feels like it should be the 19th
president. Is it like Cleveland?
Wrong. Let's throw to Jerry, the truck driver, as he tells us the name of the elementary school.
Chester A. Arthur.
What?
Chester A. Arthur, 1881 to 1885, nominated vice president in 1880. Did you know he was collector of customs right here in New York?
No, I didn't know that, Jerry. Take care of yourself.
It was Chester A. Arthur Elementary.
Chester A. Arthur.
I should've known.
You know, the 19th one.
You know, for a truck driver, that guy had a lot of information, don't you think?
Leave him alone. He was just autistic.
Michael, in Halloween H2O, what was LL Cool J secretly doing while he was on the job working as a security guard at the school?
He was studying to become like a computer guy.
Incorrect. Jackie, you're shaking your head. I think she's got it.
He was writing It began as a romance, turned into a thriller, or began as a thriller, turned into a romance. He was writing a book, a spicy
Correct.
Book.
It was erotic fiction.
That's it.
I was going to say he was jacking off, so I was close.
Halfway there.
All right, Ryan. This has got to be an easy one. I feel like this has been a big topic on the show.
Get ready, Ryan. It's going to be a tough one.
All right, Ryan. This historic box office bomb, which also happens to be a favorite of occasional co-host Jana, bankrupted a movie studio and some say a marriage. What was the name of this box office bomb?
Cutthroat Island?
Correct!
Yeah.
That was too easy. Too easy.
This is my kind of question.
It was definitely the movie's fault that they got divorced. The guy cheating on Gina Davis.
And also the explosions that were going off like right near her face on the set. All right, Jackie. In 1988's Willow, name the magical fairy substance that causes Val Kilmer's character Mad Mardigan to fall helplessly in love with Sorsha.
The name of the fairy substance is called Jism.
Incorrect.
Sorry.
Mike, Ryan?
Mike, love dust.
That is incorrect.
Oh.
Ryan.
Can I get a repeat of the question?
In 1988's Willow, name the magical fairy substance that causes Val Kilmer's character, Mad Mardigan, to fall helplessly in love with Sorsha.
What did Mike say?
Now we're going to label that as an incorrect answer. Mike, you were actually close. It was the dust of broken hearts.
I feel good.
The dust of broken hearts.
Judges should have given that to me.
No.
No. You said dust, but you're like, love dust?
Love.
Oh, and on a more somber note, I'd just like to point out that everyone here at Apocalypse Video has the deepest sympathies for the cancellation and shelving of Disney Plus's Willow television show. I actually watched the first few episodes myself. It was nothing to write home about.
We'll miss you.
All right.
We miss you.
Michael, in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, how many bricks does Harry get hit by in the third act of the film?
He get hit by in the third act of the film? Are you kidding me? You asked Ryan what's named the movie Blank Throat Island. He got hit by, as we all know, 7 bricks.
Incorrect. Ryan, Jackie, you have a chance to steal.
Jackie, I'm going to say a clean dozen.
Wrong. Ryan, it's up to you.
I'm going
to
say 3 bricks.
Wrong.
3?
4?
I will remind you, the question was, in Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, how many bricks does Harry get hit by?
Oh. None. Oh.
The answer is none.
Moves out of the way. God damn
that was
it.
A tricky one.
All That's right, pretty
Ryan.
Good.
In The Man with the Golden Gun, what was the name of the strip club that James Bond surveils while waiting for Scaramanga to arrive?
I know this. God, get it wrong so I can steal, right?
I don't know. Is it like...
I remember.
Pussies.
Mike. Is it Bottoms Up?
Correct!
Pussies? I don't know. Big Pussy?
Jackie.
Yes.
In Saturday Night Fever, Tony Manero, played by John Travolta, gets into a playful scuffle with his friends on their way to the disco club, later complaining that he sustained an injury during their roughhousing. What was Tony's injury?
Broke a finger, twisted a finger, which he uses for pussy-related purposes.
Correct! You pulled it out! He broke his pussy finger!
Wow.
That movie.
You messed up my hair.
We all know how important those are, right, folks?
You broke my hair.
All right, Michael, this is the final question of round one.
Whoa, round one.
It's because we're doing all this crosstalk.
In our episode on Small Soldiers, Ryan spoke of his love for this particular fast food
the rodeo
movie
burger.
Menu tie-in,
the rodeo
which would
burger.
End up remaining on the restaurant's menu for years to come. What was the name of the fast food movie menu tie-in?
The Rodeo Burger.
Correct.
You should lose points for interrupting Dave, though.
Yeah, half a point at least.
We're not going to give half points.
I'm not doing that.
I should get an extra point because I answered it before the question was done.
That's not how that works.
If anything, I would take away a point for that, but we'll let it slide
it's
this
exciting.
Time. You were excited. It's okay.
I appreciate the excitement.
It's because we all want that
rodeo burger.
Yeah.
You can't handle the rodeo burger.
Major Hazard, you left the base without authorization, proceeded to Burger King and ordered a rodeo burger?
I've served this command for over...
Answer the question! Did you order the rodeo burger?
You're darn right I did. It was flame broiled and delicious.
Burger King salutes small soldiers with a tasty new rodeo burger. Cheese, onion rings, bullseye barbecue sauce. Right now, part of the 99-cent great taste menu.
That rodeo burger, it was pretty tasty, huh?
You can't handle the rodeo burger.
If you ask us, it just tastes better.
I want a rodeo burger right now. It sounds great.
Yeah, let's do that after the show.
And that does it for round one. This is exciting, isn't it, folks?
It is.
How many rounds are there, Dave?
16.
Three rounds. Okay. What's the score right now? Should we let everyone at home know?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. Let's take a moment to add up our scores.
Were we supposed to be keeping track ourselves?
Okay,
because I was not keeping track.
Oh, my Lord. We have a close game here, folks.
Oh.
In third place, we have Ryan with 6 points.
Whoa.
Mike is in second place with 7 points. And Jackie, you are currently in first with 8 points.
I did not expect that.
Well, you were able to get some stolen points there in round one.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations. All right. Well, like I said earlier, we don't have any sponsors, which means we don't have any commercial breaks. So let's get right into round two, shall we? Yeah.
Let's do it, Dave.
As I mentioned before, this is the buzz-in round. Each contestant has a chance to answer the question at hand by being the first one to shout their first name. Okay. Points are now doubled, but contestants will now lose 2 points for each incorrect response.
Oh.
So be careful. We can't have any Leroy Jenkinson going on in this round.
Is it possible? Okay, so we're buzzing in. So
correct.
Be active.
Okay.
All right, without further ado, let's begin round two. In New Year's Eve, Michelle Pfeiffer's character tells her boss, played by John Lithgow, that she needs some time off. During the conversation, Lithgow is shown clearly not listening and instead is doing this.
Jackie, crossword puzzle?
Incorrect.
Well, at least I'm brave enough to go for it.
I don't remember. I didn't remember John Lithgow was in the movie.
He shows up for 2 seconds to do this little funny bit. I remember it was funny, but I don't remember what the bit was.
Yeah, what if we don't know?
I'm sorry, folks. He was playing Angry Birds.
Damn it!
Oh, boy.
It's like it was 2011.
2010 version of Crossword Puzzle.
Yeah. All right, next question. In A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, Jesse, the film's protagonist, gets into an argument with his father after the family bird goes crazy, flies around the living room, and ultimately spontaneously combusts, which leads Jesse's dad to accuse him of doing what?
Ryan? Feeding him too much?
Incorrect.
Jackie, doing drugs.
Incorrect.
Oh. I'll lose all my points. I'll just go for it.
Mike. Setting the bird on fire.
Can you be more specific?
Setting the bird on fire while doing drugs.
Incorrect. Oh. He accused his son of using a cherry bomb to kill the bird.
That's right, he did.
What are you talking about?
You know damn well what I'm talking about. What'd you use? Firecrackers? You know what he did? He used a goddamn cherry bomb.
Oh, stop.
That's what he did?
Look, you can't talk to me like that.
Damn.
I should have got that.
If you ask me, that dad is scarier than old Freddy Krueger, am I right? All right. In Point Break, while on a stakeout, Gary Busey asks Keanu Reeves' character Johnny Utah to get them lunch.
Mike.
With Busey later saying... Utah, get me two.
Mike.
What were they eating for lunch?
Mike, two meatball subs.
Correct.
I knew it too, but he was really excited, so.
Oh. All right. In Waterworld, the villainous smokers destroy the boat of our main character, the Mariner, played by Kevin Costner, which leads him to morosely say
yes
after discovering the wreckage of his vessel.
Jackie. My boat.
Correct!
My boat.
Hey, can I throw out an amendment idea?
Sure.
If they buzz early, then you have to stop saying the question. How about that?
I like it, judges. All right, that has now become law on the show.
And then that way, in case they're wrong.
Correct.
All right,
you do not get a point for that, Ryan. All right, next question. What infamous moniker was Arnold Schwarzenegger's character Ben Richards given at the beginning of The Running Man after he is framed for the death of several civilians during a food riot? Question again. What infamous moniker was Arnold Schwarzenegger's character Ben Richards given at the beginning of The Running Man after he is framed for the death of several civilians during a food riot?
Mike, is it Terror Ben?
Incorrect.
I don't know this one.
I don't know, man.
He was referred to as the Butcher of Bakersfield.
Oh, that's a good name.
Mm-hmm. As you were, Richard. Proceed with Plan Alpha. All rioters must be eliminated.
To hell with you. I will not fire on helpless people.
I tell you, that Glenn Powell has his work cut out for him. Thank God the guy has a nice set of abs, am I right?
He's so hot, Dave.
We love him.
Clearly hot, am I right? All right, moving on. In the episode of Star Trek The Next Generation entitled Rascals, Jean-Luc Picard, Ensign Ro, Keiko O'Brien, and Guinan are transformed into children during a transporter accident. Afterwards, Guinan and Ro are discussing what they used to do for fun as children, which leads Guinan to accuse Ro of having done this during her childhood.
Jackie, jump on the bed.
Correct!
Wow, good.
How about you three? Were any of you jumpers as a kid?
A little bit, but at a certain point, you're just kind of like, jumped a few times.
Also, you don't want to destroy your bed. You sleep on everything, right?
Wait, I was more of a couch jumper.
I did that.
Oh,
yeah.
ruining it for everyone.
You probably fucked up the couch.
At a hotel, I think, is when you jump on the bed.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
I did have a
friend. Inspired by Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a friend with a trampoline too, so that was good to have.
It was tough with a bunk bed to jump on it.
I think Ryan was a big fan as a child of Johnny Mnemonic, the yelling about room service and stuff.
Yeah, I really love the $10,000 sex room.
Mom, I want a plain burger with just ketchup. Eat.
No ketchup. Get that out of here.
Oh, it's no ketchup. It's just a plain burger.
I want my clothes laundered just like the Tokyo Hotel.
Plain
burger. Like nothing on.
We already covered the rodeo burger. Opened up my eyes to the world.
Leave them alone.
What was on the rodeo burger? If we
do not have time for the
rodeo burger.
Cheese. It was like onion rings, barbecue sauce,
and cheese, and that's it.
Cheese.
So it's a bacon western without the bacon.
Did
it have bacon on it?
No, but the western is a ripoff of the rodeo burger, I'd say.
All right, I'm being told to move the show along. All right, next question. In the beginning of Cutthroat Island, Gina Davis finds herself in a sticky situation when she is held at gunpoint by someone she just had sex with. Thankfully, she manages to outwit her attacker by disabling his gun. How did she do this?
Jackie, she said she took away the bullets and she's like, I got your balls.
Correct.
Wow. Jackie, I've been this.
You're killing it.
And before I ask the next question, I just have a quick message to one of our listeners, Jana. I'd like to warn you that your rental of Cutthroat Island is now 3 weeks overdue, and we are now locking your account and sending a team of mutant marauders to come collect. So watch your back, Jana. They bite.
We have one copy of that movie, and it's always checked out by her.
All right.
Just got their balls.
In Dark Angel, a.k.a. I Come in Peace, Mike refers to the bad alien's devious plot as one of the most convoluted bad guy schemes ever. What was the bad alien doing in the film?
Well, Michael.
I don't remember at all. I didn't buzz in for the record.
No, but your name dropped in the question, so...
I don't think I have the slightest.
I don't remember what that movie was, but I think I now remember now. There's like a dance club in this movie thing, right?
I'm sorry. He was injecting heroin into people and then sucking out their endorphins to turn into cosmic heroin or space drugs.
That doesn't sound convoluted at all. I don't know what you're talking about. Pretty straightforward.
The answer was
I gotta say, whoever wrote that flick, I hope they use a pseudonym.
How else are you gonna make space drugs? Like, I'm sorry, tell me another way.
All right. In Santa Claus the Movie, the villain, played by John Lithgow, devises a plan to extend Christmas sales beyond December 25th and into the month of March. What was the name of this proposed idea?
Ryan, the name of the idea?
Yes.
Was it like Christmas in July?
Incorrect.
Mike, Christmas in March.
Incorrect. Jackie, it's up to you.
I got it. Ryan, can I buzz in again?
No, you cannot. Jackie, it's up to you to save the day.
Operation War on Christmas, on the side of Christmas.
Incorrect. Ryan, what was it?
The second Christmas?
Sort of. It was Christmas 2. Yeah.
God damn it.
Christmas 2.
Oh, Lithgow.
Christmas 2.
The people don't want to wait a whole year. They're dying for a sequel. A sequel. That's it. We'll bring it out on March 25th, and we'll call it Christmas 2.
Damn it.
You all lost points on that one. How embarrassing.
I should have known. It's my favorite movie.
I'm joining the war on Christmas against Christmas.
All right, our next question. In our episode on the original Nightmare on Elm Street, Dave awakens after the film discussion to find himself sitting at a table for breakfast with Mike, Ryan, and Jackie, only to discover in horror that he is still in a nightmare as it's revealed that the breakfast being served is this undesirable fast food option.
Well, it's not the rodeo burger.
Ryan, I'm going to say it is Taco Bell's meatless variety. It's usually like potatoes or something.
Mike. Ryan's close, but he's not totally right, and I have the right answer.
Well, maybe I get the judges?
We need the name of the option, Ryan. Michael, what is it?
It's the Fresca menu.
Correct.
Oh, come on. That was all me.
You described it, but you didn't say what it was.
I said what it was.
Yeah, but you didn't say the name of it.
He's like, some sort of meatless option burger.
I'm sorry, sucks to suck.
I said it was Taco Bell.
You were close, but we were looking for the name of the option.
That's it. You better watch yourself, Mike.
You made a powerful enemy.
Well, Ryan, maybe you'll have a better chance with this question. You really enjoy this movie. In the film Black Narcissus, the character of the old general points to a crate and says that Europeans eat this wherever they go. What food was he referring to?
We watched Black Narcissus for the show.
Believe it or not, we did.
Europeans eat this wherever they go. God, I've seen that movie like 4 times. Europeans eat that wherever they go. I don't know. I don't have an answer.
The answer was sausages.
Oh, I was going to say cigarettes.
Sausages. They will eat sausages. Europeans eat sausages wherever they go. They will eat them when they come and until they can tell the cook what else they want to eat.
You know, they should. Yeah, that's probably a good place to smoke up on the Himalayas like that.
But for real, though, check it out, folks. Black Narcissus. It was one of our earliest episodes. It's a film we think you'll enjoy, so give it a watch. After all, it's in the Criterion Collection, so it's got to be good, right?
I like to say it's usually one of the oldest, most modern-feeling movies I've ever seen. Yeah.
There you go. And speaking of the Criterion Collection, that leads us into our next question. In the third act of Sorcerer, spoiler alert, Roy Scheider and the wounded Mexican assassin are the last two survivors of the two-team truck crew as they drive on to their destination to deliver the unstable dynamite. What does the dying man maniacally say he is going to do after he collects his cut of the wages?
Shit. God, this is all great stuff. These are all great factoids that I'm just not pulling.
I got nothing for this.
I love these, but I'm learning a lot here.
He maniacally screamed,
"Get laid!"
We should have known. How did you not guess that? Context clues. Come on.
Once again, if it's in the Criterion Collection, it's got to be classy.
Look
people.
At sausages, getting laid. We should have known with these Criterion.
I mean, yeah, we're forgetting that Dave made this quiz.
Damn it!
Fresca.
All right. Next question. This might be a little harder.
It's not about like wieners and stuff.
No. In the film My Name is Nobody, Henry Fonda writes the titular character of Nobody a letter that he reads in a barber shop. What warning does Henry Fonda give to Nobody in the PS section of his letter?
I don't know.
The letter reads,
P.S. Just one more piece of advice from an old timer. When you're getting a shave and cut, be sure the right man's wearing the jacket.
I remember this.
I remember that line. That's good. That's a good line.
You gotta stop naming classy ones, Dave. We don't know them.
There's a lot of good ones that the listeners will be yelling and screaming and thinking we're big dumb idiots. You know?
That was also the last line of the movie, by the way. All right. In our episode on The Core, we discuss an Act 1 action sequence that looks eerily similar to a sequence seen a couple of years later in Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, which leads everyone on the show to wonder if George Lucas ripped this scene off for his little space opera. Explain what happens in this allegedly stolen sequence from The Core.
Episode 3, huh?
I remember like a bunch of lightning in the beginning of the core.
Does someone named General Grievous get like cut in half in this in the core? Is that what is that what Georgie ripped off?
I'll say Ryan. It's like there's a crash landing with a big plane.
Correct.
Yeah.
The shuttle crashes in the LA River, reminiscent of a scene where a ship crashes in a runway in the beginning of episode 3.
A perfect landing.
And no, we will not be throwing to a clip from the core. The reason? Lack of interest. All right. Yeah. Moving on. In the Spy Who Loved Me episode, it is revealed that one of the show's co-hosts has been secretly selling copies of our rare James Bond laser discs to competing video store startups, which causes Dave to do this to the conspirator.
Jackie, do trapdoor stuff and feed them to sharks?
Incorrect.
Mike, is this some sort of like booby trap chess game?
Incorrect.
Ryan, karate chop?
Incorrect. Jackie, you were halfway there.
I knew it.
It was you, by the way.
Yeah,
you were the
conspirator,
in case you forgot.
Sort of.
You dropped through a trap door into a vat of Mountain Dew live wire.
Sorry, I was thinking of the movie instead of the bit. But I did get trapdoored, yeah.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I love that OSHA no longer exists in the wasteland.
It'd be really be cooler if it did.
He's still sticky from that.
I would love to have some legal counsel.
In The Lost Boys, okay. Edgar Frog, played by Corey Feldman, disdainfully refers to Corey Haim's outfit as suburban wardrobe, which causes his brother, Alan Frog, to tag on to the insult by labeling Corey Haim as this.
A dork.
Mike, is it like a, like, Beaver, like a Leave It to Beaver, like he's like like something he's called.
Incorrect. Jackie, Ryan, you have a chance to steal.
Jackie, fucking nerdlinger. I don't know.
Incorrect. They labeled him
for a fashion victim.
Oh, that's so mean.
I would like to also point out that, again, incorrect responses result in a loss of 2 points.
I'm aware.
Which means you don't have to ring in if you don't know the answer.
Yeah, but you know, I've got to kind of give the listener something.
We got to fill the airspace.
By the end, you guys are going to all have like negative points.
I'll tank my point.
You can still see who wins from that, you know?
Just for shits and giggles.
I'm here trying.
All right.
Jackie wins with negative 2.
Oh my god, yes, that's how we determine it. Alright, while we're still in the 80s, in Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning, there are two hillbilly characters, a mother and her nitwit son.
Oh, I remember
this. Shown in their home eating the mother's homemade stew.
Yep.
During the scene, the mother, busy at the stove, is complaining about the loony inhabitants of the halfway home down the road, to which her sycophantic son keeps agreeing with her in an annoying manner, which causes the mother to call her son this.
Jackie, a dildo.
Can you be more specific?
Oh, fuck. A stupid, useless dildo? No.
Incorrect.
I just remembered the dildo
You're
part.
So close.
I feel like if dildo is in there, you got to give it to Jackie on this.
You got to be specific with this one.
You big dildo.
You fucking dildo. You eat your slop. I remember that. You know?
Jackie managed to pull it out after the fact. It was.
You big dildo.
Aww. Well, maybe.
I think Jackie should get that. I think this.
I don't know. It's big. Okay, we should get it.
I'll take a pity point.
I agree. I just
remembered a woman calling her grown son a dildo.
All right, the judges have ruled you do get the 2 points for that, Jackie.
Thank you, judges.
As a bonus point, what does she follow that up with? So she says, "You big Brian, dildo." Then what?
Eat your fucking slop.
Correct. It was eat your fucking slop.
You big dildo. Eat your fucking slop.
All right.
This movie's disgusting.
Next question. In our Predator episode, Arnold Schwarzenegger appears during a mushroom-induced hallucination, claiming that he was the original choice to play Morpheus in The Matrix, which leads Ryan, in his best Arnold impression, to repeatedly say this, a prominent location in the first Matrix film. What did Ryan keep saying? And please say your answer in your best Arnold Schwarzenegger impression.
God, what's the line?
Let's go to the club, Neo.
Again, the question was, it was a prominent location in the first Matrix film. Ryan.
Is it, Welcome to the Desert?
Incorrect.
Damn it.
I don't know, man.
Mike,
I don't know.
What was Ryan repeatedly saying in his best Arnold impression? A location in the first Matrix film.
You got me.
I have some guesses, but I don't think I feel confident about them.
Ryan was repeatedly saying, Nebuchadnezzar.
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 How'd I forget? That's like, there's only two locations in that damn movie.
All right. And in more show trivia, in the Sandlot episode, we all profess our love of Benny the Jet Rodriguez, comparing him to this famous historical figure.
Mike. Babe Ruth.
Incorrect.
Famous historical.
I was pretty sure about that one.
Famous Benny the Jet. He's famous as.
We compared Benny the Jet to Jesus.
Historical figure.
Historical figure.
You're right.
I was like,
we dubbed him Baseball Jesus, if you recall.
That's funny.
All right. We have another Bond question here, folks. In Moonraker, James Bond meets with the film's villain, Hugo Drax, in his California estate while on a mission to find out what happened to the stolen Moonraker shuttle. Before Bond begins his questioning, he is offered a snack by Hugo Drax. What snack did Hugo Drax press Bond to?
Cucumber sandwiches.
Correct!
Wow. Nice. Wasn't bread on the table?
Like some slop, Mr. Bond?
No, it was cucumber sandwiches, a perfectly normal snack to have. By the way, have you guys ever had a cucumber sandwich?
No,
I've had cucumber on a sandwich.
I'm not British, Dave. So
yeah, because it's like cucumbers and cream cheese.
I think it's
and like
cucumbers and creme
bread.
Fraiche. I think, sorry.
I'm kind of fascinated to try one, though, to be honest.
It's probably fine. I like cucumber, but sometimes if it is a cucumber sandwich, I don't really like it in a salad though. It's a little too much. I taste it too much.
If I'm British and I'm having a bit of tea, I'd rather have like a chocolate biscuit or something.
This just sounds so bland. So the traditional cucumber sandwich.
Look it up.
So first off,
that's why Drax was insane.
So you take white bread, you cut the crust off.
Of course,
it's butter. It's lightly buttered, so not a lot of butter, and then cucumbers, and that's it.
Oh, I mean,
all right.
Maybe there's salt on it. Maybe.
And then they're like, and then well, you get your tinned fish.
Question.
Anyway, yeah, we can make fun of the British
put that
some other time.
Nastiness behind us. All right. In 1989's Roadhouse, Dalton, played by Patrick Swayze, meets with the film's villain Brad Wesley, who tells him of the many things that he has brought to the town of Jasper, which culminates in Wesley loudly proclaiming that this specific store is coming to Jasper because of him. What was the store?
Mike. Is it Macy's?
Incorrect.
Ryan. Sears.
Incorrect. Jackie, it's up to you.
Can I guess again?
The whoop-ass store.
No, it's
wrong.
JC Penney.
Mike, what do you think it was?
JC Penney.
It was JC Penney. Oh. It's coming there because of Brad Wesley, damn it.
JC Penney.
Everyone's favorite.
All right, next question. In the Quantum Leap episode we covered, titled Dr. Ruth, it is revealed in the trivia that Dr. Ruth had this surprising occupation during World War II.
Mike. Sniper.
Correct.
Wow.
I believe it.
And as Dr. Ruth would say, next! All right. As previously covered in round one, the adult video section of Apocalypse Video was destroyed at the end of the Aliens episode.
Yeah, more questions about the adult video section.
What film from the store's library was later used as a substitute for the destroyed adult film section due to its erotic content?
Certainly not Flashdance, only for Dave, but...
I have my own personal copy of that.
What was replaced?
What erotic film was used to replace the destroyed adult film section?
We've watched so many erotic films on this show.
What's that one? I see Bruce Willis's hog.
Die Hard.
I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the name of the movie.
His dick's just out in Die Hard, actually. Fuck.
It was 1982's Cat People.
Oh, I should have known.
By the way, while we don't usually kink shame an Apocalypse Video, we do not support incest in any way, unless it's in Game of Thrones or the aforementioned Cat People.
In which case, it's awesome.
You can tell it's a good game show, and you have to give a disclaimer that this show incest? Does not support incest.
As long as they're cat people, it's fine.
Cats, it's like, whatever.
It's not gross when they're cat people.
You don't get it, all
right? No, it is gross. It's still gross. In fact, maybe more gross.
Political.
All right.
Sorry.
Next question.
Sorry, I'm getting so
political. Oh, that's actually a good transition, Jackie, into our next question.
Great.
The lead star of The Warriors, Michael Beck, also starred in this film, covered early on in Apocalypse Video's second year in the airwaves, a film which led the show's host Dave to immediately purchase this film's soundtrack on vinyl.
Jackie, Xanadu.
Correct!
Oh, that's right.
Dave loves Xanadu soundtrack.
That is a catchy tune. And as Ryan said on the episode, how great is that bridge in that song? Now that I'm here.
Dave's number one.
And speaking of Ryan, we have a Ryan-centric question here.
Finally.
In the Indian in the Cupboard episode, Ryan elicits shock from his fellow co-hosts when he declares that the lead child star of this film has one of these.
What'd you say, Ryan?
Shock?
Shall I repeat the question?
Yeah, say it one more time. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. In the Indian in the Cupboard episode, Ryan elicits shock from his fellow co-hosts when he declares that the lead child star of the film has one of these.
Ryan, a bowl cut?
Incorrect.
Jackie, a Nobel Prize.
That is an odd answer, but incorrect.
What if he did, though?
Mike, do you want to give it a shot?
No, I don't.
Ryan declared that the boy in the Indian in the Cupboard had, quote, a punchable face.
Oh, I said that.
Yes, child? I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, that was rude.
You know what? He does kind of have a thing going on with, like, he's sort of like, ugh.
So you do want to punch that right. Child's face.
He does kind of have this, yeah.
I would.
You're right.
I'll stick with it.
It, Look, so no one wants to say it, but some kids do.
Plastic. Plastic.
All right. In our Pretty Woman episode, we discussed the tone of the film, which originally had a harder edge and was less overtly romantic before an extensive rewrite. What was the original title of Pretty Woman before it was rewritten?
Ooh, I remember the rewrites, and I remember that there was a worse tone, like the ending was different, and the original title was...
Jackie, I know it was the amount of money that he gave, that he originally gave her, but I don't remember what...
The audience is on the edge of their seat.
I don't remember what the money is.
Right, it was.
It's like $900 or some, like, some piddly amount. It's so sad.
Mike Ryan, you have a chance to steal.
I'd say $200 a night.
Now, Michael, $7,000.
Incorrect. It was $3,000, referring to how much Edward pays Vivian for their week together.
And it's like, you have how much money, and you're not even $10,000?
For a week. I forgot.
Wow.
Wow.
Fucking cheapskate.
All right. Next question here. In the Now That's What I Call Commercials Volume 1, Nickelodeon and Toonami Edition episode, we noticed that one of the repeating themes for the commercials are breakfast and lunch ads for children. The latter of which leads Michael to express his disgust with this particular lunch option. Should I repeat the question?
Ryan. It's a Lunchable Burgers.
Correct!
Yeah, that does sound disgusting.
The commercial made him look so cool in claymation, though.
I'd just like to point out that while Lunchables Pizza and Lunchables Hot Dogs have since been discontinued, somehow, some way, Lunchables Mini Burgers are still sold in some stores in the country.
Who wants a cold burger, cold hot dog? Oh. Yeah.
I
Our
remember
children deserve better.
He had like red, white, and blue stars on him. It was American in a box, Jackie, you know?
I want
Only
that
three
either.
Three questions left in round two,
I gotta
folks.
Recover. I'm in the toilet.
Yeah, I'm sure I am too.
In 1984's The Karate Kid, Dave explains how he was slightly distracted during the Cobra Kai dojo scene where Daniel LaRusso and Mr. Miyagi confront the dojo's master, John Kreese. What object in the background of the scene did Dave think didn't belong in the villain's tough guy dojo?
Mike. It was a soda vending machine.
Can you be a little more specific?
Oh, it's... Oh, God. Was it like a Fruitopia machine or something? No, it wasn't.
Correct. It was a fruit juice vending machine.
Wow. Nice pull.
I could really go for a Fruitopia right now.
Sadly, I think that was discontinued along with Lunchables pizzas.
Damn it.
They can't believe all the pizzas.
All right. In Final Destination 2... we all laugh at one of the early 2000s expressions said by a teenager who happens to get into an argument with one of the film's protagonists. What early 2000s slang did the teenager call one of the film's heroes?
It's not...
It's not like a gay slur?
Yeah, slur.
Is it a slur? Slur? <Just
kidding. laughs> Vile slurs omitted. God, no, what is
we
it
We all loved the slur that...
What was it, like lamoid or something like that? Fuck, what was it? Oh!
He called one of the girls a biatch.
Classic.
Oh, we gotta bring that one back.
Biatch.
What the fuck are you thinking?
I'm thinking, suck on my junk, biatch.
And like the Lunchables mini burgers, believe it or not, there are still some in the wasteland who still use that outdated insult.
Yeah.
And now, the final question of round two. In the League of Their Own episode, Dave proclaims that he suddenly understands the appeal of this after seeing Gina Davis display her toughness while catching a fast-thrown baseball barehanded. What did Dave suddenly understand the appeal of?
Strong female women.
Yeah, Jackie, giant women, giant strong ladies.
Incorrect.
Fuck.
Ryan, getting your face...
Smashed between the legs.
Yeah, Davis' legs.
Correct. It was BDSM.
Let's go.
I'm literally lightheaded from laughing.
Getting the life choked out of you by Gina Davis.
And that does it for round two and my admission of any further sexual awakenings.
Question to go on.
Well, that's the end of round two. We have one final round, Michael. And before we get into it, let's take one last look at those scores.
Okay, oh God.
Let's look at the carnage.
How many negatives are there?
Oh, no.
I'm just going to say, like, even if I do lose, I'm proud of calling out some just stupid answers that I know I knew weren't right, because I'm here to have fun and be myself. And that's exactly what I'm doing.
I think we're like, would be like, you know, I don't think I remember ever seeing those like montages shows, those clip shows of like game shows. And there's people like on the Newlywed Game giving funny answers. I think we would be right at home at that.
You know, I'm not going to win today, but I'm going to go home.
Giving wrong, horny answers, I think, is the best way to go. You
know? I think so.
You should get extra points for that.
And with Dave, you know it's going to be a weird, horny answer.
All right. Here are the scores going into the final round.
Okay.
Final Jeopardy.
In last place, we have Ryan with -4 points.
No.
In second place, we have Mike with -3 points.
Suck it, Ryan.
And in first place, we have Jackie with +4 points.
I was sure I would be in the negatives as well.
Can we get a recount?
Jackie, you were able to steal a lot of correct answers.
Damn, I'm good.
Wow, we need a recount.
All right, let's get into the final round. Before we start, I'll ask each of our players to wager their points.
So how do... We have negative. What is it? Zero or?
We just wager our negative points and go further in the hole.
Yes.
Oh. Okay.
A reminder: Ryan, you have -4 points. Michael, you have -3 points. And Jackie, you are the only one with positive points with 4 points.
So there's no way to really get ahead, huh?
No, I think we can. I think we could. You can.
This is one of those Jeopardies where the person in first place doesn't have to do anything. They could wager zero.
But I think we can wager our negative points to come back, right?
Well, in fact, this is one of those Jeopardies where there's only one person alive, therefore they are the winner. So really, we don't even have to go on. Jackie is the winner.
I think the way we go forward is we get to wager our negative points. We get to use those.
How about this? What if...
You could turn a negative into a positive.
How do you do that?
Wager all of your negative points.
So if they were to wager, let's say you're the bank now and you're giving them the positive, you know, of their negative. So the best they could do would be to hit zero.
You'll see who gets second.
We're going to do it this way. If you multiply two negative numbers together, you get a positive, right?
Right.
Right.
That means Ryan can bet all -4 of his points for a total of... 16 points.
Is that how that works?
Is it?
I don't know.
All right, I'm gonna bet them all.
How about this? If you have negative points.
I see the audience is leaving out the doors.
They're
right
looking
now,
at their watches.
No. If you have negative points and you get it, you just get 1 point. You just get a point. So you can whittle that down.
I'll go with that. And Mike, Ryan, you're hoping that Jackie will be greedy and bet all 4 of her points, I assume.
Right. And we can just keep, if we can get 8 questions right, maybe we can make this a tie.
This is the final Jeopardy, though.
Well, this is the final point, the final question. There's only one.
There's
question.
Only one question?
So we'll see who's going to get second.
Okay, I'm wagering all of my negative three
points.
Yeah,
me too.
I'm going
to
go ahead.
You're supposed to keep that secret, but I think we could all assume you guys were going to do that.
I'll keep my secret,
though. Really, the question is Jackie going to bet all of her points or just bet zero and win? We'll see.
We're going to see.
All right, here we go, folks. We are now within the final question, and here it is. Out of all the employees who have ever worked at Apocalypse Video, who is the only one who has not been either killed or presumed dead? 30 seconds. Good luck, players.
Do we, like, write it down somewhere?
Only one.
Yes, you write it down.
I think I know the answer.
I'm writing it down.
Writing it down up here.
Question one more time for those listening at home. Out of all of the employees who have ever worked at Apocalypse Video, who is the only one who has not been either killed or presumed dead? And we're coming up on time.
Okay.
And that's it. All right. First, we'll start with Ryan. He was in last place with negative 4 points. Ryan, what did you write down?
Oh.
Dave! That is incorrect.
Oh. I've had a great time, it says.
Oh. All right, next we'll go to Mike. He had negative 3 points. Who did you say, Mike?
Mike. I said Mike.
That is also incorrect.
Oh. Pretty sure Ryan killed you with an axe, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think he did.
Something like that.
All right, Jackie, what did you say?
I also said Dave, but I'm wagering big old zero of my positive points. So.
Oh, perfect play. And that was a good move because the answer was every employee who has worked at Apocalypse Video has been at one point killed or presumed dead. Dave was killed by a customer while collecting late fees on Cutthroat Island. Ryan, as Jackie mentioned, was decapitated by a crazy customer. Mike was shot to death by interdimensional traveler Eric.
Wow.
Cody, of course, way on early in the series, was presumed dead after being attacked by Terra people. And finally, Jackie was presumed dead after the explosion in the Aliens episode, only to reveal later that she was able to hide in the store's emergency fallout shelter before the explosion occurred.
Wow.
But she was presumed dead for a period of time.
The history.
Does that mean did we all lose?
No, I wagered zero and I still have positive points.
With that, Jackie is our winner!
Congratulations, Jackie.
Thank you.
Mike and Ryan will, of course, be docked a month's pay, lose their free rental privileges for a week, and be forced into exile for a period lasting no fewer than 60 days.
No, it's what I deserve.
I'll miss you!
But enough about those losers. Let's talk about what our winner Jackie gets. Chad, tell her what she's won.
They have won a coupon for one free Taco Bell Chalupa, which can be redeemed in the shadowy alley behind Club Morton's in Bartertown.
Oh.
As well as early access to Minecraft Mac, the final chicken jockey.
That,
how about that?
Wow. It's such
Minecraft
an honor.
Nine. Wow. Early rental.
It's such an honor. Thank you so much to Dave and the judges and our beautiful audience and all of my fellow losers. Thank you. Thank you.
Jackie, will you let me? Can I look at the chalupa when you get it?
Yeah, but not for too long.
What a prize package. Well, that's going to do it for the Apocalypse Video 6th Anniversary Trivia Showdown. On behalf of everyone here at the store, I'd like to say thank you to all of you out there listening for all these last 6 years. We love putting the show together, despite the many crazy things that happen on a day-to-day basis, the murders, the mutants, the decapitations, and, well, let's face it, the last handful of episodes we've been watching on the show as of late. But none of that has deterred us from putting this show on. We love doing it. And here's the 6 more years of movies and crazy shenanigans. I can see now the judges are now coming to inform Mike and Ryan on where to report for their 60-day exile. Mike, Ryan, Jackie, do you guys have anything to say before we sign off?
I think this was a great game show, Dave. I can tell you put a lot of
I agree.
Work into this, and I think it went well. I think the you know, while we may have some disagreements with some of the judging and maybe some of the results here, or I think we can all agree a little questionable.
I don't agree with that.
That aside, I think this was a great celebration, and what a show we've done.
It felt like we had to do something. We skipped the 5-year anniversary, which is when we probably should have done an anniversary show. But
the famous 6-year anniversary show. That's the year. That's the year. Five is the new six. Six is the new five.
As Robert Wool would say in Batman, no, six is good. Yeah, six is good.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Wool.
Oh, thanks. Can I have a grant?
All right, we'll see you next time, folks. Until then.
Bye.
Yeah, what did they?
Enjoy your chalupa.
Go get a rodeo burger on us.
Pet spayed or neutered, you know, like that.
Stay far away from Lunchables mini burgers. They are disgusting, and there is no proof whatsoever that Taco Bell's meat consists of only 35% beef. It is a dirty, rotten rumor that is not true. We'll see you next time, folks, on Apocalypse Video's 6th anniversary trivia showdown. The Apocalypse Video 6th Anniversary Trivia Showdown was filmed in front of a live studio audience and is a Mark Goodson, Bill Taubman production. Mr. Snyder's wardrobe, furnished by Immortans, big and tall. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest Volume 5 on your Wasteland Station.